Good morning, Crossville Church. Thank you all for being here this morning. Thank you for everybody who's joining us via Facebook. We appreciate you for worshiping with us as well. This is not in my notes, but I wanted to give a shout out to everybody who helped with the Inspire conference yesterday. So please pat yourselves on the back. Especially want to thank our pastor and Susan and pastoral staff for everything they did to make happen. But if you were not aware, we had close to 400 people down in the Family Life Center and then scattered out across the campus for the different breakout workshops. And so it was a good day. I know many of you all were able to be there both to attend the workshops or to park cars or to do all kinds of different things. So I want to say thank you for making that happen. It was a good day. So tonight... Well, let me back up. I'm getting ahead of myself. Also, in conjunction with the Inspire Conference, we are honored to have our district superintendent, Brother Ron, and his wife Judy with us today. So, thank you all for being here. So, he is like a rock band. He is on a tour of the district. And so, he's with us this morning. And then the tour continues tonight. It's the Drumbeat of Love tour. And so this is continuing tonight at the Sparta Church of Nazarene. And we are all invited to be there and be part of that and share with them. I think they are going to be having some snacks. So if you are going to make the trek to Sparta this evening at 6 p.m., please bring a dessert. So don't forget about that if you can attend that. I've got the address for that if you need it and don't know where the church is. The Young at Heart group is having their end of summer get-together. That's this upcoming Friday, the 28th at 2 p.m. down in the Family Life Center. There's a sign-up sheet at the welcome desk. And if you have any questions, talk to Gail Martin. Next Sunday, we will be doing something a little bit new, but it's a Teacher Appreciation Day. So with the teachers and the kids and everything going back to school, we want to take a moment and celebrate the teachers that we have in our congregation and what they do. So if you know of a teacher that you want to appreciate, please invite them to be here with us. I always remind you, but I'm going to remind you again, that there are other things in the bulletin each week that I'm not able to cover. So make sure that you are scanning your bulletin, seeing those other items, and staying on top of whatever else is going on within the church. Many of you all have done a good job of filling out our Sunday night small group survey. There is a survey box back there in front of Mr. Wayne in the sound booth. If you have not filled one of these out, there are blanks back there, and I think he even has pens. So please fill one of these out. Drop it in the box if you haven't already. We want to know what you think about small groups on Sunday night. And you know, do our best to take your feedback into consideration as we make plans moving forward. We've been announcing for several weeks the Fall Arts and Crafts Festival that is coming up in September. Now, September seemed like a long way off, and now it is just around the corner. So there are flyers and info sheets and sign-ups. If you have any questions, please talk to Ms. Jane, and she will be glad to help you out with any questions you have. As part of this, we're also going to be having a bake sale, so they need some baked goods to be donated as well. Okay. And then, thought I said something wrong. I've got to stay on track. Okay. And then District Ladies Day is coming up on October 4th. So, ladies... Third, see, I knew they were going to keep me on track, but we have to get the sign-ups in fairly early. I think the deadline is early September, so ladies, if you want to go to that, please make sure that you sign up for that, and we do have info on that on the welcome desk. One other thing is that our walk-in group that has taken a hiatus for the summer in the Family Life Center will be starting back up this Wednesday, the 26th, so if you have been part of that, don't forget about that starting back up this Wednesday. And if you want to be part of that, please let us know, and we'll get you some info on that. Thank you all for being here today.
I just want to reemphasize something that Jesse said. You guys just outdid yourself getting ready for Inspire.
Amen.
And I can't tell you, on Thursday, I kind of, in my mind, allotted about 2 hours to get all the chairs moved and all the things done. And we had all the chairs moved and all the chairs set up in 30 minutes because we had 15 people here. Give those 15 a hand, yeah. It means so much. But then yesterday things had to be reset, and people just came to me and said, Pastor, we're going to go take care of this or we're going to go take care of that. And it was such a blessing to be able to walk away knowing that it had already been done. And I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. You guys are heroes to me right now. and I really do appreciate all that you did to get everything ready. We did have a tremendous crowd yesterday. And Brother Ron will probably say more about that. But we had to put chairs, even though we had set for all that we had to that had registered, we had to bring chairs into every room, except Brother Ron's in here now. I don't know.
That explains.
I have to kid him every now and then. But anyway, thank you, thank you, thank you for all you did, and thank you for those that were in attendance. We sure do appreciate it. It was a great day. Let's stand together as we worship the Lord this morning.
Our hearts can say, yes, our hearts can.
Opportunity to have Brother Ron with us today. He and I kid each other. He and I talk a whole lot with each other in our two separate roles. I'm thankful that as he has been our district superintendent, that he has not lost his pastor's heart.
Amen.
And that can happen sometimes. But I've watched him, I've seen him, and this man is real. And for that I'm very thankful. And in just a few moments after Pastor Jack prays, Pastor Ron's going to come. He's going to speak to us this morning. And we're so happy to have he and Judy with us today. And we're just praying God's blessing on them as they travel all over East Tennessee. And I'm thankful for him, and I'm thankful for his ministry to us.
Brother Ron's going to be preaching this morning from 2 Thessalonians. The section he's preaching from is very reminiscent for me of the first chapter of 1 Thessalonians. So in this prayer, I'm going to quote a little bit of that. If it seems strange to you, it's biblical. Look it up. It's 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. God, we thank you that we're always able to be thankful to you in prayer because of the ministers that you've given us who so diligently do your work. We remember their, Ron and Judy's, work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in you, Christ Jesus. And we're just so grateful for that. For godly leaders who care about us, who point us in the direction that we need to go, who are imitators of you, that we might be imitators of them. We know they're chosen for this ministry because your message did not come to them in word only, but came with power and conviction in the Holy Spirit. And so we thank you for your faithful work in their lives that they're able to display in the ministry that you've called them into. We thank you for turning them to you, from idols to you, to serve the living God and your Son Jesus, whom we wait for from heaven, who delivers us from the wrath to come. It's not language we use, but it's biblical. And we thank you for your work in their life. We thank you for the opportunity we get to see that and join in that imitation of you, that we might become partakers of the divine nature, that we might know who you are in the way that you desire to be known, as a father, as a brother, as a friend, as a leader, as a guide, as a good, good God who shows up with goodness, grace, and infinite mercy. It's in your name we live, Lord, so it's in your name we pray. Thank you. Amen.
Well, good morning. Just thought I'd wake you all up in case you were asleep. Anybody asleep? Somebody's asleep, tell them, wake them up and say, wait till he gets started preaching and then you can go to sleep. One of my district superintendents that I revered a long time ago said, he told this story about how there was somebody who fell asleep in a church service, and he asked the dear brother behind that person that was asleep, would you please reach up and wake him up? And they hollered back at him to the pulpit and said, you put him to sleep, you wake him up. So anyway, I may need some of y'all's help this morning. If somebody goes to sleep, just nudge them, if you will. I've had a number of kind things said about Judy and myself. Judy is worthy of them. I am not. But I have some things that I need to say about you as a congregation, certainly your pastor and his wife. Number one, aren't you glad you've got a preacher that can sing? None of the churches that they've never asked me to sing. I would say, can I sing in the choir? No, you can't sing in the choir. You do what you do. But man, you've got it all in one package, and I'm thrilled. And yesterday, Brother William, you all are amazing. You really are. Thank you for everything you did. Anybody that moved a chair, anybody that parked a car or whatever, God bless you. Thank you. The Crossville Church has become the center of our district. And a lot of that is because of your willingness of your pastor to say, hey, this facility is God's, and ever how it can be used, we want it to be used. And you are being used. As a matter of fact, I have an advisory board meeting here this next Saturday. So I drive through and to Crossville a whole lot. So I just can't say thank you enough. Not only for us being able to use your facility, but thank you for letting us use your pastor and his wife, because they are key. They are key leaders on our district, and we really, really do appreciate them. And I could say exactly the same kind of things that he said about me, which, of course, he lied. And I paid him $20. I met him over in the office. I gave him $20. Would you please say some nice things about me? And he took the $20. But I'm cutting up with you. I'm cutting up with you. But anyway, it is a joy and a delight. Judy and I truthfully always look forward to being in Crossville because of who you are and because of the way you love God and you love our district. And so, last Sunday I was down at our Crossroads Church, and which is in Lenore City. And there are two little girls there. Their daddy leads the worship there. The Hon, well, he's a Hon. Now they're Hons. It works better that way. But anyway, and the two little girls think Judy hung the moon and the stars. And they don't like me, but they love Judy. And so anyway, we walked in, and we were there because one of our advisory board members was receiving a Distinguished Service Award. And we walked in there, and is it Ella?
Clara,
the oldest one, right? They love Judy, but when I walked in, they said, "Don't you be mean to Miss Judy this morning." I said, "She's my wife. I'll be mean to her if I want to." And they said, "Don't you do it, because if you're mean to her, we'll have to discipline you." So I wasn't mean to her, but I did mention Judy in my opening remarks. Like, you know, I'm so thankful to have my wife. She really is. We've always been a team. But in this role, I found her to be deeply gifted with, some people have GPSs. I've got Judy. Because even a GPS, when you plug in, you know, your address or whatever, it doesn't always say, "This is a red light." Coming up to a red light, Judy says, "That's a red light." If I'm coming up to a turn, she says, "You're supposed to turn right here." And every once in a while, not always, not often, but every once in a while, she lets me get out on my own. And I travel pretty far distances every once in a while. And when I get back, I just want to look at her and say, "Isn't it amazing I found my way there and back? And you weren't with me." But anyway, she does do that, by the way. And every once in a while, and some of you already know this, but you know, she's in love with groundhogs. We talked about that at lunch, I think, yesterday. In fact, if you saw her phone, you know, it's got a cover, and on the outside of the cover, it's got a picture of a groundhog. We have a groundhog family now in our yard, and if she sees that groundhog, it's just her day's made. And we'll be traveling down the road, and all of a sudden, she'll go, "Ah!" And I'm thinking somebody's fixing to hit us. And no, she just saw a groundhog standing up on its back leg. She said it was just standing up on its back leg like this. I said to the district assembly 2 years ago, I showed a picture of her phone cover, and then I had a picture of me side by side. And I said, I think I understand now why she loves me. Well, anyway, she's the very, very best part of me. And she is a tremendous, tremendous district superintendent's wife, because she loves you. And she loves your kids. And it's genuine and it's sincere. And there's no way in the world I would ever do ministry without her. She's special. And I love to tease about her, but I know who she is, and I know how much she loves you. So this morning, I want to introduce to many of you who were not at the district assembly, we called tonight's tour service a drumbeat of love service. Every year since I've been district superintendent, and even while I was pastoring for many, many years, 30 years at Shelbyville, every year I felt like God would give me a theme for the whole year. And so when I started doing this job, which I didn't want, But I just thought, well, can I do that for the district? And so I felt like God impressed on me that very first year, sort of a theme. And so every year I just kind of say, Lord, I don't know. I don't know what we need to have as a theme, as a central part of our message for the district. And I just feel like God sort of opens the door, and usually, obviously, it's through the Word. And this year, Drumbeat of Love, and at the district assembly, those of you that weren't there, when I got to thinking about what the Drumbeat of Love might mean, for some reason I kept thinking about the old song that Sonny and Cher used to sing. And so at the district assembly, I put Sonny and Cher's picture up there. All the young people were looking and said, "Who's that?" Well, just ask somebody over 45 and they'll tell you who Sonny and Cher was. But the beat goes on. The beat goes on. That's what Sonny and Cher would sing about. Love beating to the rhythm of the heart. And I thought to myself, why would that be such an important message? Well, because when you think about creation and the fact that God created Adam and Eve and placed them in the garden and they walked in the cool of the evening, and we all know what happened there. And we know that when they yielded to temptation, they were banished from the Garden of Eden. And what I want you to understand, and boy, Dr. Tim shared this yesterday in such a powerful way. He said, you know, the tree of life was at the very beginning, and the tree of life is at the very end. And from the very beginning to the very end, in between, everything that happened in the Scripture is for the sake of the world. All the judges and all of the prophets, it was all with the same story. And the story is this. God says to His world, "I can't live without you. I won't live without you. I want you. I want to be in relationship with you." That's God's message. And beloved, this morning, that is the drumbeat of God's love. Somebody ought to say amen. Oh, you do that, don't you hear? Oh, good. I thought I was in the wrong kind of church. But so we come to the New Testament, we come to the book of Acts, and we find out that in the book of Acts, Dr. Luke kind of keeps us all in suspense about what's going to happen and how things take place. And we know that on the day of Pentecost, the disciples had been told to go back to the upper room and to wait there and until they'd be endued with power. And on the day of Pentecost, Holy Spirit came. Amen. Holy Spirit came. And when He came with a mighty rushing wind. And He came with tongues of fire. And all of a sudden, the disciples got so excited about what had happened. All of Joel's prophecy, all the prophecies of the Old Testament has now come to fruition. And now, Holy Spirit is not just moving upon one person for a particular thing, for a particular assignment. But now, He's coming upon all flesh, men and women, Jews and Gentiles. And Holy Spirit moves. And all of a sudden, because Holy Spirit moved, the disciples could not wait in that upper room any longer. They went down the stairs and out into the street and began to preach and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. The church was born. And Luke tells us all about it. And then we understand about how Peter and John were on their way to the beautiful the temple at the beautiful gate, and they healed a lame man, and the religious people got all upset. And you know these stories. I think you know these stories, so I'm just going to kind of give you the DeWitt version of them. And so because this lame man was healed, there were religious folks who said, "This isn't the way it ought to be." And they threw the disciples or the apostles in the prison. And in the jail, and then they ended up being let back out, and they said, "Whatever you do, don't you dare keep talking about this Jesus, and don't be preaching in His name." And as soon as they got out, you know what they did? They obviously were not Nazarenes, because we know Nazarenes do exactly what they're told. But they went right back to preaching. They went right back to teaching about Jesus Christ and about how He could set people free. And guess what? They ended up in jail again. And after they'd been put in jail, they ended up being in jail, and they were told that you can't do this anymore, you can't preach anymore. Well, ended up, what happened was, there was an angel that came at night. Aren't you thankful for angels? Did you know they're all around? Amen. I see some of them sitting right here. I won't tell you who you are or who you're not. No, you're all angels. But the angel released the disciples, and they ended up going right back to the temple and began to preach and teach again. And they came to get them the next morning, and well, where did they go? Well, we don't know. And then somebody came and said, by the way, I think they're at the temple preaching and teaching. Well, they brought them back in, and they flogged them. And when it was all said and done, under the wisdom and advice of a fellow by the name of Gamaliel, they ended up saying, okay, we're going to let you go again, but whatever you do, don't you dare keep preaching about Jesus. And that takes us to Acts, the 4th and 5th chapter. Listen to what it says in the 4th chapter. But so that it will not spread any further among the people, let's warn them not to speak any longer to any person in the name. And when they had summoned them, they commanded them not to speak or to teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, make your own judgments. For we cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and heard. Well, praise God. And it's because of that that Christianity has spread around the world, because they could not be told to stop. But then in the 5th chapter, after they've been thrown in again, after they've been flogged and let go again, day after day, chapter 5, verse 42 says, day after day in the temple courts, from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Amen. Now, beloved, when I talk about the drumbeat of love, that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about something that resonates deep in the heart of a person who's been set free. Yesterday, Big Daddy Weave, not Big Daddy Steve. Don't get those two guys confused. Big Daddy Weave sang a song, I Am Redeemed. It was powerful. It was powerful. And somehow or another, when you've been redeemed, you can't stop speaking about what He's done for you. But what has He done for you? That's what brings us to 2 Thessalonians, the 2nd chapter. Now, I don't want to scare you, but I will tell you now, that was the introduction to the sermon. They're used to it. And I've been saying this at the churches where I preach. This year is the year of discipleship. And so when we read about the early church in the book of Acts, in the 4th and the 5th chapter, where the scripture says that they went to the temple and they would preach and teach, and then they would go to house to house. So, see, they didn't care where they were at. They had to talk about Jesus, whether it was in the temple or whether it was around a meal in a home. From house to house. That's discipleship. It wasn't just enough that someone would accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. You see, in other words, this morning, I want you to understand what we preach and what we teach is not just about a get-out-of-hell card. It's about a lifestyle of walking with Jesus. It's about a lifestyle of our life being altered by who Jesus is and what Jesus teaches. Amen? Amen? Amen. That's what separates us. Now, Dr. Tim yesterday, Tim Green, he talked about that. I want you to understand, even though this might be unique to us, we didn't invent this thing called holiness. And what I want you to understand this morning is this. I don't think it's possible to divorce discipleship from holiness. I'm under an assumption. The assumption is this, that if a person yields themselves to Holy Spirit and to the Word of God in discipleship, they will discover holiness. Because Holy Spirit is faithful to continue to speak to those who have accepted Christ into their heart. Because when we accept Christ into our heart, Holy Spirit comes to live within us. Amen? And what happens after that is what I want to talk to you about this morning. In 2 Thessalonians, the 2nd chapter, if you're there. And if I mess up in my reading, please understand. I've had eye surgery, and Judy keeps saying, well, you need to bring your readers. See, what would I do without her? But I didn't bring my readers. But let me read this to you. At least I'll do my best. Starting with the 13th verse, 2nd chapter of Thessalonians. But we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved, by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. It was for this He called you through our gospel, that you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brethren, stand firm and hold to the traditions or teachings which you were taught, whether by word of mouth or by letter from us. Now, there's two things in that first verse that I want you to understand. Two things. One is that we are chosen. These folks were chosen, but I want you to understand we were chosen. And it's a wonderful thing to be chosen by God. The God that created the heavens and the earth, and the God that hung the stars and the moon in their sockets and put them there, and then named those stars and knows how many hairs are on our head, and some of you He's having problems with. They're used to be there, but they're no longer there. But that same God, that God that flung the world into existence, spoke the word, and it happened. That God chose you. Praise God. And that was from the foundations of the world. Before you discovered America, He chose you. And He has a purpose and a plan for your life. But what I want you to understand this morning is this. Not only were we chosen, but then we were called. That's what He's talking about in this gospel. We were not only chosen, but we were called. Now, this is what you need to understand about who we are as Nazarenes. We believe in what is called prevenient grace. I love that. In fact, I didn't preach about that near enough as a pastor. I get to preach about it now all the time as a district superintendent. Prevenient grace. Prevenient grace is the grace that goes before. Before you knew He was speaking to you, before you knew anything about God, God was lavishing you with His grace. How in the world do we even know what we've been protected from because of prevenient grace? When I was 4 years old, I had polio. I couldn't see. I couldn't speak. I couldn't walk. Every once in a while, I still wonder whether I can walk. You figured out I've gotten over the speaking part. But I didn't think about this for a whole time I was growing up. As a teenager, I didn't stop to think about it. But after I got saved and after I began to study, I began to realize, Brother Tim, God had graced me with prevenient grace. And the whole purpose of prevenient grace is to bring us to Himself. And in that calling us to Himself, we were called. He spoke our name. We begin to realize grace was for us. We begin to realize He did have a purpose and a plan for our life. And in a little Greensboro Church of the Nazarene, just east of Indianapolis, about 35 miles out in a little hamlet called Greensboro, I walked down and found Jesus at an altar of prayer. My life was changed. But what I didn't understand then is not only he was choosing me and He was calling me, but He called me for a particular thing. In this passage of Scripture, we are told that we were chosen and called to a sanctified life. Now, beloved, we believe that a person is not only saved, but they can be sanctified. Now, what does that mean? Brother Tim said yesterday, to be sanctified means unique. It means different. Well, most of us fit that bowl. But it means separated. Separated from the world. Different than the world. Dare I say, we march to the beat of a different drummer. Amen? But this is what happens. You see, beloved, we were saved to sanctification through faith in truth. And this is what I want you to understand. Once we're saved, Dr. E. Stanley Jones was one of my favorite authors. I never did get to hear him preach. He died in 1973. That's about the time I got saved. But
But anyway, Dr. E. Stanley Jones used to talk about the fact that it's kind of like an iceberg. When you think about an iceberg, you know that there's a small part of the iceberg that's over top, and you see that. But there's a large part of the iceberg that's beneath that you can't see. When we get saved, when we come to accept faith, we're accepting and confessing what we see over top of the surface of the water. And once Holy Spirit comes to live within our heart, He begins to deal with some stuff beneath us, beneath the surface. In other words, we begin to understand why we were jealous, why we were prone to fits of anger, why we wanted to lie to get out of trouble. And so Holy Spirit begins to shine a light on the things beneath the surface in our heart. Maybe there's somebody here this morning, Holy Spirit is even now speaking to you about some of the reasons why you've done some of the things that you've done. And 1 John 1:9 says that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins. And the remainder of that scripture says, and will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And let me just say this morning, cleanse us of all the stuff that's beneath the surface that we didn't know was there. We can't ask God to forgive us of that because we didn't even know what was there. But what happens is Holy Spirit begins to reveal those things to us, and we begin to say, but wait a minute, that's not like Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. And so we bring it to Him for cleansing. And the promise is that He will cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Now, beloved, that's not the way a lot of people preach it, but that's what Scripture says. And I don't know about you, but when the world's on fire, I want to be standing where the Scripture is. So to be sanctified means that we bring that which is made known to us by Holy Spirit. It's bigger than we are. There's nothing we can do about it except to bring it and lay it at the feet of Jesus and ask for a cleansing that we do not have the power of within ourselves. So how does that happen? I love this passage. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Corinthians, the third chapter in verse 18. And please, if you just write that reference down, if you don't have your Bibles or you have your phone or whatever, note that chapter or note that verse. Because Dr. Steve's talked about it yesterday. And so I just want to kind of share with you this morning that discipleship and holiness cannot be separated. And by the way, for those that were here yesterday and listened to Tim, he went on to say, and I wrote it in my notes, he said, we can't separate holiness from our mission. And I like that. I've got that in my notes. That's true. Discipleship, holiness, and our mission cannot be separated. Amen? Right. Amen? So in 2 Corinthians, the third chapter, the 18th verse, one of my favorite passages of Scripture in helping folks to understand how we come to holiness. This is what the Scripture says. And all of us have had that veil removed. Now, that's about the Old Covenant. The Old Covenant was, of course, Moses had a veil put over him because he could not look at God. Folk could not look at him after he had been in the God's presence and that kind of thing. There was a veil over it with the Jews. And the Jews would always read the Scripture of the Old Testament with a veil over them. But that veil was torn the day Jesus was crucified. But he says, and all of us have had that veil removed so that we can be mirrors and brightly reflect the glory of the Lord. Now, the word glory can often be replaced by the word image. So let me just plug that in. And we can be mirrors that brightly reflect the image of the Lord. And as the Spirit of the Lord works within us, we become more and more like Him and reflect His image even more. So this is it, folks. Now this is where I get excited, because this is what happens. When you give your heart and life to Jesus, you sit down in front of a mirror. And when you look in that mirror, you're seeing Jesus. And as we see Jesus, we see ourselves for who we are. Kind of like Isaiah in the 6th chapter. You know, Isaiah was in the Holy Spirit came and the seraphim were flying everywhere. And all of a sudden, Isaiah realized that he was a man of unclean lips. When you get into the mirror and you look at Jesus and you know who you are, Holy Spirit begins to speak to us. It's that which was beneath the surface of the iceberg. Holy Spirit begins to speak to us about that jealousy, about that pride, about those fits of anger, about all the things that you have in your heart and your life that's by far less than Jesus. And the beauty of it is Holy Spirit begins to recreate the image of Jesus in you. Well, somebody ought to say amen. Praise God. He loved me enough. The Holy Spirit comes that all of the things in my heart and in my life that are less than like Jesus, He wants to do something about. And through the power of Holy Spirit, He will recreate that image in us. The way I used to teach this in my class that I called What Nazarenes Believe Is, I said, if you could imagine, now just imagine this morning. Imagine that I had a clay image. Let's say of William Boney. Why I would ever want that, I don't know. But let's say I have a clay image of William Boney. And it's a soft image. I mean, it's a soft clay. And I take my thumb and I just kind of, you know, mess up his face. More than it is. I'm sorry. Such a serious message and I have to be that way. But anyway, I take my thumb and I just kind of mar the image. And when I look at that marred image, I can tell it's a man. I can tell it's a human being. But I can't make out who it is. That's the way you and I came in the world. We bore the image of God, but that image was marred. And what happens, now are you listening? What happens as we sit down in front of this mirror is God the Holy Spirit begins to recreate the image in us. I love that. I didn't do anything to deserve that. Neither did you. But here we are. And Holy Spirit begins to speak to our hearts and says, you know that thing in you that you're dealing with? That thing that's beneath the surface? I have a remedy for that. And if you'll bring it to me, I'll cleanse it. I'll do something about it. Amen. That's what we believe. That's who Nazarenes are. Now, we didn't invent that. That's in the Scripture. You were chosen. You were called to the life of sanctification. But guess whose responsibility it is to sit down in front of the mirror? So you see that in this thing of sanctification, Brother William, there's always God's part and there's my part. There's God's part and there's your part. God's ready to do His part. As a matter of fact, when He says, if you confess your sins, He will forgive you of your sins. I mean, you take that to the bank. You can bet the ranch on that. But you're not supposed to be betting anyway. You're Nazarene. You can bet the ranch on that. But beloved, mark it down. When you confess your sins, they're forgiven. And when you yield yourself for cleansing, it will be done. For faithful is the one who's called you, will do it. Just one page over in my Bible is that promise in 1 Thessalonians. It says that He will sanctify you through and through. That means wholly, completely. W-H-O-L-L-Y. Holy. And when He sanctifies you wholly, W-H-O-L-L-Y, you become holy. H-O-L-Y. Amen? And this is the beauty of it. This is the drumbeat of God's love. I will not be satisfied until you are restored back to me. And then what happens is God begins to use us. He begins to use you. He begins to use me. And that's a remarkable thing in and of itself. Because I'm not sure if I was God that I would use you. And I for sure know that I wouldn't use me. But yet He does. That this drumbeat of love keeps going. And the beat goes on. I love the fact at the district assembly, I said, you know, a lot of people talk about the acts of the Holy Spirit. In your Bible, it probably says Acts of the Apostles at the beginning of the book of Acts. And I said at the district assembly, I've always believed it's not the Acts of the Apostles. I think it's the Acts of the Holy Spirit. And what you need to understand is there are chapters continuing to be added and added and added and added. And there are chapters being added at the Crossville Church of the Nazarene. Acts of the Holy Spirit. He's here this morning. He's speaking this morning. He wants to save this morning. He wants to sanctify this morning. He wants to find those that are in front of the mirror and are willing to hear Holy Spirit speak to them. And He says, if you will let me, I will continue to etch and recreate the image of my Son in you. But you got to let me. You got to want it. You got to desire it. You hear that drumbeat of love. And God says, you let me have you and see what I do. See what I can get done. See what I can accomplish. Because sometimes we've struggled. Amen? Sometimes we feel shame and we shouldn't feel the shame. All we got to do is get in front of that mirror and let Holy Spirit do His work. But are we willing? We sing the song, Goodness of God, and we talk about the goodness of God is running after me. And I wonder this morning if the goodness of God is not running after someone here this morning, saying, oh, there's more than what you've experienced. There's more than what you've let happen in your heart. If you'll let me this morning, I'd like to do something special in your life. Sit down in the mirror. Behold who it is that you are to reflect. I believe that what God wants you to be is a showcase of His holiness. Are you willing? I'm going to ask your pastor's wife, Miss Susan, to come. I told her before I started preaching this morning, I wasn't sure what I was going to do at the end, but I could be wrong. I've been wrong before. That's what Judy says. But I just feel this morning that there's somebody here that may be ready to let Holy Spirit work a little more on etching that image of Jesus into your heart. Would you close your eyes and bow your heads? We're not going to wait long. I've already preached too long, but I want to mind the Holy Spirit. If you would like, if there's something that Holy Spirit has spoken to you about this morning that you need to come and lay before Him, I would encourage you, I would invite you to come. And just say, Lord, here am I. Do in me what you want. Do in me what is needed. Do in me what you've longed to do. And really, what I need you to do. Is there anybody like that this morning? Come right ahead. Step out. You're among friends. We know how to pray. We'll pray until the Lord brings victory in your heart. Come right ahead. Some others have come. Why don't you come? There's a struggle in our hearts until we finally yield our all to Him. And you know why that struggle is? Because this was not what you were designed for. You were not designed for a struggle. You were designed to be in perfect relationship with God. And, you know, we don't believe in Adamic perfection. We're not ever going to be as perfect as Adam was, but we can be fully yielded to Him. We'll never get to the place where we have perfect performance, but we can have a place in our heart where we have pure intentions. Are your intentions pure this morning? Would you like to come and pray? I'll wait just another minute. And then Brother William, I'll turn it over to you. Amen. God is good. God is good this morning, that He wants to do something in our hearts that will change us forever. We don't believe necessarily we need more information. We need transformation. Transformed from what we were to what God would have us to be. And oh, it's a journey. It's a wonderful journey. Praise His name. Brother William, come right ahead. Praise God.
Let's sing that song. Susie's playing Praise You. If you need to come, and we're not going to make it any more specific than it already has been, but if you have something you need to pray about this morning, this altar is open, and there are people who would love to come and to pray with you. They don't have to know anything, but they'll come and pray beside you and be with you during this time. Let's stand. Praise You. Praise You. Let my life praise You. Praise You. Praise You. Let my life, oh Lord, praise. We're thankful for this time that we've had together this morning. We're grateful, Lord, for the message that has been proclaimed. We're grateful for the truth of it. But we're also grateful, Lord, for the experience of it. And so, Lord, this morning, for these who are gathered here, for these who are standing here this morning, perhaps, Lord, maybe some wanted to come and just could not find the strength to do it this morning. Thank You, Lord, that You will meet them right where they are. Thank You, Lord, that a surrendered life can happen most anywhere. And we're grateful, Lord, this morning for these who have come. And I pray, Father, that as they surrender their lives, as they submit to You, whatever their need may be this morning, thank You, God, that You are able to do immeasurably more than we can even ask or imagine according to Your power that's at work within us. We're grateful, Lord, that Your word tells us that faithful is He who calls You, who will also do it. And so, Lord, this morning we give You glory, honor, and praise for what You are doing in hearts and lives even now. And Lord, as we go from this place, remind us as we go that we indeed take the image of God with us as we go, for You are working in us, and as we were reminded yesterday in all of our comings and goings, in our actions and in our attitudes, that people are looking and that they are watching. So help us, Lord, to be faithful image bearers of the one who has done a work in us. So, Lord, may you go with us, bless us, help us. May we sense your power and your presence. May we glorify you with the lives that we live. And we pray and ask these things in the precious name of the one who has called us and who is faithful. His name is Jesus. And all God's people said,
amen.
God bless you. Remember, we're going to Sparta this evening at 6. And if you need an address, Jesse has that better than I do. God bless you. I'm glad you were here this morning.